This is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Allen County Right to Life, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Abigail Eschelbach, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Abigail Eschelbach.
And I'm Scott Kump. I Choose Life News and Views is a joint project of Allen County Right to Life, Indiana Right to Life, and Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
And now, the pro-life news.
This is your AFA Indiana News Minute. During its annual convention in Indianapolis, the Indiana State Medical Association officially voiced its opposition to physician-assisted suicide. The ISMA, which represents approximately 8,000 of the state's physicians, has voted to officially oppose any attempt to make assisted death legal in Indiana. Physician-assisted suicide is a Class B felony now in the state. At its annual convention, members argued that allowing the practice could potentially create a medical culture in which the elderly and disabled were encouraged to end their lives, as well as make it easier for caretakers to mistreat or even kill their patients. The ISMA stated in a press release, "Will the government and insurance companies do the right thing, pay for treatment costing thousands of dollars, or the cheap thing, pay for lethal drugs costing hundreds of dollars?" There's more online at afain.net.
We have two guests with us today in studio, which is exciting. I usually don't have anybody with me in studio, but it's Kelly and Dana, and they are coordinators for an event called Walk to Remember, which is coming up pretty soon here in October, but I'll let them fill you in on all of those dates and times and location and that sort of thing. Kelly, Dana, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
So you two have different roles in Walk to Remember, so we'll sort of shift back and forth when we're collecting details here on this event. Where is the event, Dana?
The event is held in Huntertown Family Park.
Okay.
And that is right in Huntertown. The address is 2114 Woods Road.
And that's right off of where Lima splits from 3, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so just north of that split there.
Yes.
Great, awesome. So Walk to Remember, what is Walk to Remember?
Walk to Remember is a memorial walk and a balloon release for families that have experienced the loss of a baby.
Okay.
Either through miscarriage, stillbirth, or infant loss, which is within the first year of life. And that can be in any amount of time. It could be a year. It could be 10 years ago.
Okay, wonderful. And what is your role, Dana, in Walk to Remember?
I started this event 3 years. This will be our third year.
Oh, great.
The first 2 years I did through the hospital that I currently work at. Started it through our support group there and thought we'd have maybe 30 people come. Mm-hmm. We had about 120 people the first year.
Oh my gosh.
That came. The second year we had a few more than that and just felt like it needed to be more of a community event so we could open this up to Fort Wayne. We had people coming from Michigan down by Indy because it's one of the few walks in Indiana.
Wow, that's really fantastic. When is the walk this year?
It is on October 15th.
Okay, so that's a Saturday, right?
It is a Saturday. Registration starts at 9 a.m.
Okay.
The walk will start at 10 a.m. The balloon release will start about 11.
So that's sort of, is that sort of the end of the...
We have a live band, Live for One, that is playing after the balloon release, too.
Oh, fun. That's great. So it sounds like this is something that people can bring their kids to. Is that
absolutely
accurate?
Absolutely.
Great. Bring the rest of the family. So, Kelly, now you have a different role. What's your role in Walk to Remember?
We, being my husband and I, we have recently, we met Dana when we had our daughter, Delaney. Mm-hmm. Delaney was our bereavement nurse at the hospital. And we were asked to... if we were interested, to join this committee for the walk. We both just kind of jumped at the chance to get involved, to kind of have that sense of purpose in honor of Delaney. And so we have been kind of just doing whatever is needed, from making signs for the event to requesting donations from different corporations, just trying to spread the word as much as possible, network, meet people, and just get involved in the infant loss community.
And that community seems to be a little bit buried, almost like a secret society that nobody wants to talk about or really come out. Would you say that that's accurate?
For me personally, I would definitely say that's accurate. And ironically, it's not like we always, I don't know, didn't talk about it, but it was just not at the forefront. And now having an infant loss ourselves, it opened us up to this entire new world. People started reaching out, coming mm-hmm. out of the woodwork. So many people, even close family friends that we had no idea had gone through something similar. And so it's kind of opened us up to not only talking about it, but wanting to talk about it more and meeting people and connecting with people who know that little bit of what we might be feeling.
Right. Something in with that loss and the stillbirths and miscarriages. Mm-hmm. You mentioned corporate sponsorships or just individual sponsorships. If somebody wants to donate to Walk to Remember because they want to support people who have gone through an infant loss or had a stillbirth, had a miscarriage, how could they get a hold of you? How could they donate?
We have set up a Facebook page, and it is Walk to Remember Fort Wayne. We also have an email address, which is walktoremember@hotmail.com. We've had people reach out that way as well. And then that will link you to either Dana or myself. And we would be happy to get you the right paperwork and help you with donating to our cause.
Yeah. Allen County Right to Life is excited to be one of the sponsors this year. Kelly came into the office and said, hey, would you be interested in this? And we said, yeah, we think we would. Something that we've been wanting to reach out into that community a little more and address the issue of infant loss or prenatal loss too. And we just haven't had a good way to do it. So I'm glad that Kelly came into my office that day and plopped me down and told me about your walk. We will also link to your event off of our website on our radio page. So if people want to find you there, they can go to ichooselife.org under the radio tab and find that there as well. Good. So October 15th, just to drill it into our listeners' head, October 15th, Huntertown Family Park, mm-hmm. 9 a.m. starts registration.
Correct.
And 11 a.m. is the balloon release, 10 a.m. is the walk. All right. So both of you have stories that have connected you into this movement and connected you into the walk. So Dana, do you want to start us off? What's your story?
I have never had an infant loss. I've been very blessed to have three healthy children. I am a labor and delivery nurse. I've been in labor and delivery for 26 years. At the beginning of my career, nobody really wants to take care of these patients. You know, it was always like kind of almost they wanted to draw straws. Mm. And it's like, no, we're not drawing straws. I will take care of them. And I just felt, I know, a calling, if you will, to meet with these patients and families and work with them and get them through probably one of the worst days of their lives. And I've met amazing people like Kelly and Zach, just the strength that they have and their faith and their family support. And it's just, it's very rewarding, I guess. I can't fix things for them, but it's rewarding to get them through that day, give them mementos of their baby, help them say hello to their baby before we have to say goodbye. And this has been just another resource to offer the parents and get the word out that this does still happen and get connections.
Yeah. And I feel like, and maybe you can attest to this a little bit, that it happens more often than what we think or than what we'd like to think.
Absolutely.
Do you have any sort of picture that you can give us of how often it does happen, either stillbirths or miscarriages? I know early miscarriages happen more.
About 1 in 4 women will miscarry early.
Wow.
I don't have statistics. I'm not really good at statistics. and I can't remember them, even if I did know them. But thank goodness cases like Zach and Kelly, where the patient comes in and has, you know, a perfect pregnancy and baby just is gone, doesn't happen all that often. It's devastating when it does. But mm-hmm. those are still fairly rare. A lot of times it's been a genetic chromosomal abnormalities or genetic defects or something that causes the baby to pass. And we see, again, more of those than we like. Our stillbirth rate in this country has decreased significantly, but probably in the last 10 years, it's stayed pretty steady. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we'll ever get that down more than it is or not.
But yeah. Do you know what caused the decrease?
I think good prenatal care, and I think that's very, very important. Healthy mom, good prenatal care typically is a good outcome.
Yeah. And I know we have some organizations in Fort Wayne, like Women's Health Link, especially, that are targeting young ladies and mm-hmm. trying to make them aware that prenatal care is important.
Exactly.
And these are why we have in Fort Wayne, one of the I think it's the second highest zip code in Indiana for infant mortality.
We do.
And so that's something I know some organizations are trying to work on, trying to cut that down. And especially with the prenatal piece of it, that care piece and visiting a doctor and getting on the right vitamins and that kind of thing, and just making people aware of the fact that it is important to check on those things. Yeah. Kelly, Dana did a little bit of a spoiler on you, but what's your story? How did you and Zach get involved with this?
We were pregnant, and we went in to the hospital to deliver back in December 30th, and we had had a normal pregnancy. All of our checks were good. We had all of our ultrasounds and sonograms. Everything looked great. We were excited to meet baby. Mm-hmm. We like to be surprised, so we didn't know if we were having a boy or a little girl. And we got to the hospital, to the triage room, and all checked in. I was in labor. And that is when we were given the news from several nurses, you know, don't panic. We're just going to check a couple things. And I don't know, I just was completely oblivious to this even being possible.
Yeah.
Of happening, like wasn't even on my radar. I think Zach was a little more in tune than I was to what might be happening, which in hindsight was really good because I was kind of just still up in the clouds.
Right. Not that you had a lot going on or anything.
Right. A little distracted. And the doctor who was on call came in and wanted to do an ultrasound check. And he let us know that our baby had died. And I don't know, it was still just... It's very hard to still talk about.
Yeah.
We just didn't see that coming. Very blindsided. Didn't know it was a possibility. 6 days prior, we had seen her on the ultrasound. And she was active and healthy. And it ended up our OBGYN talked with us. He's just wonderful. Well, shout out to Dr. Rumsey, who's just phenomenal. And we ended up learning that it was most likely placental failure and cord entanglement. She went very peacefully. And so we lost Delaney on December 30th. We delivered as normal. And the 48 hours we got to spend in the hospital were just hours we will cherish for the rest of our life. And Dana was a huge part of that. It was amazing to have the level of care we received and get to spend that small window of time with our daughter.
Yeah.
We got to keep her in the room with us thanks to a what's called a cuddle cot. And so she was able to stay with us in a bassinet with this cooling system. And we just got to hold her and love on her. And we had all of our family, friends. I mean, I feel like our hospital room was just swarmed with people because we just invited everybody that wanted to come out, to meet her, to hold her. And so that's how we met Dana, which led us to this walk. Our other nurse, Cassie, who delivered Delaney, was very instrumental in texting with me and emailing and reaching out and sharing her story and just being a support system for Zach and I.
Yeah.
And she got to talking one day about how they do this walk to remember. Would we like to join the committee? And it was just instant. Like, absolutely. We would love to do that if there's space for us or, you know, that's something we would love to do. And it kind of just stemmed from there.
Yeah. And so this will be your first walk, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
We have yet to attend a walk. So this is, we're very excited. Zach and I and our daughter, Fina, we're just so excited. Fina knows that mom and dad have been working on the walk. It's pretty much all we talk about at home.
Well, and she came with to our meeting in my office. She's such a spunky little thing.
She is spunky. That's a good, that's a good word. She is spunky.
Yeah, great. Well, if you're just joining us now, we're on with Dana and Kelly, who are coordinators for Walk to Remember, which is happening at the Huntertown Family Park on October 15th. That's a Saturday, 9 a.m. Registration starts and the walk is at 10. So if you or someone you know have experienced infant loss, miscarriage, stillbirth, we'd love to have you join us. The walk is free. So it's a great opportunity to be able to remember those little ones in your life that didn't get to hang out with you for very long. I'm a sympathetic crier. I'm going to start in here pretty soon, Kelly. It's all your...
Sorry, I'm sorry.
It's your fault. All right, so Kelly, you mentioned Fina and how she knows that you guys have been working on this walk. When you lost Delaney, what was Fina's reaction? How did she, how was she able to deal with it? I'm just interested in how that worked with her. Now she's 3 and a half, you
said.
She's
3 and a half. She is. I think Zach and I really would attest to the fact we're very faith-filled people. We have a strong Catholic faith, and we really both just feel like this was God's way of using Fina to, I don't know, help us as a family. We had her come. My parents brought her out to the hospital. And so she came into the room and we pulled her up onto the bed with us and we were holding Delaney. And we just right then and there explained what happened. This was your sister. She's no longer with us. She has died. No, she's not sleeping, and that she is in heaven. And she was just the sweetest little girl. And she just sat there looking at Zach and I and could not get over how beautiful her sister was. Like, she's cute. She's so pretty. And she held her and she kissed her and she loved on her and just got to be a part of her story for the time we got to spend with her. She's a very wise little kid. And she, I don't know, she gets it, I guess. People kept asking us, do you think she understands? Do you think she knows what's going on? And without anybody telling her anything, she would empathize with Zach and I, and she would comfort us, and she would rub our backs and, you know, Mom, Dad, like, it's going to be okay. Like, I know Delaney's not here, but she lives in our hearts. She's always going to live in our hearts. And I mean, Zach and I just bug-eyed at each other. Like, are you hearing what, are we hearing the same thing? I mean, she is just so wise beyond her years that she was just so thrilled to have a sister and to share her sister with everybody and mm-hmm. look how cute she is. And I mean, even at the funeral home, she was so excited to share her sister with people.
Yeah.
At the church, the morning of the funeral, Father Andrew had asked her if she wanted a cookie. And she, what three-year-old doesn't want a cookie?
Right. What anybody doesn't want a cookie.
So she gets this cookie, and she immediately, in front of everybody, Miss Social B, she runs over to where Delaney's at in her casket. And she crawls up on the kneeler so she can be closer to her. And she goes to break her cookie in half. And we all had to, we're like, oh, nope, can't share your cookie with Delaney. Well, why not? That's my sister. Like, yeah, I would like to share my cookie. And we all, it was a beautiful moment. We got to giggling and laughing. And Father was so sweet about it of, you know, how priceless that this little three-year-old. It doesn't matter that her sister is an angel. She wanted to share this cookie.
Right. Yeah. Sister. She's still her sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Well, maybe she'll go into Dana's line of work when she's older.
She very well. We kind of, it's kind of the running joke, either nursing or she loves. Delaney's buried at the Catholic cemetery. And mm-hmm. we kind of joke that we're grooming our little undertaker. She loves. She loves to go to the cemetery and, you know, check on all the babies and mm-hmm. Her papa is there and she'll, you know, talk to him and set up the flowers and, I mean, dust off the headstones. I mean, she loves it.
Yeah.
And it's just very cute.
Good. So the walk has a couple different activities. We've mentioned a couple of them. Can you tell us a little bit about what people should expect when they come,
sure.
what things there will be for them? Dana, maybe you can speak to this a little bit.
Sure. Registration does start at 9. We will get people checked in. We have people that have registered have gotten shirts. We do have some extra shirts, so if they want a shirt, show up early.
Okay,
we don't have a lot of extras, but we do have some. They will have an opportunity to make a name badge of who they're walking in memory of. Add their baby's name to the banner that we will carry for the walk.
Oh, great.
They will have the opportunity, if it does not rain, to decorate a section of the walkway with sidewalk chalk in memory of their baby. We will have some resources set up for parents with different support groups in the area, some different I know the Indiana Milk Bank will have some things there.
Oh, yeah.
So just different resources that are here in Fort Wayne. After the walk, we will come back. They'll get their balloon. They'll be given some Sharpies. They can write on their balloon if they want to write a message. And we'll have the balloon release. And then the band will play. And we'll have some refreshments. And if it's as cold as it's been in the last 2 years, lots of coffee and hot chocolate.
Good. Yeah, so maybe watch the weather.
Yes.
And make sure it will be
rain. Yeah, rain or shine, no matter the temperature, we will have the walk.
Good. Do you know how many people you're expecting this year?
I haven't looked, but last time I looked, we had about 325 people registered.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So it has really gone beyond our expectations on how many people are coming. So we'll get a final count as we get closer.
Great. And then you mentioned that a couple of years ago, at least, people came from Michigan. They came from the Indy area. Do you know where people are coming from this year?
I think most people are Fort Wayne area. I haven't really looked at addresses and things, but we're trying to get the word out to all of Indiana because the only other walk I know of is down by Indy.
Okay.
So this is the only one up north this way.
Good. So if our listeners have friends, too, that they
absolutely
think that may benefit from this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Bring them down. Come with them.
Ohio, Illinois. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter. We're not specific to our little, you know, community. Yeah. We want to reach anybody who needs support.
Not going to check my driver's license.
Exactly. You're in the clear.
What if I want to come, but I haven't? I mean, I'm not even married. I haven't experienced infant loss. Can I still?
Absolutely. The coolest thing about the walk is that you do not need to necessarily have experienced infant loss yourself or even know somebody that has. It could just be a cause that you feel passionately about, you want to know more about, or just be together. It's such a great family event to come and show your support and your love that these children matter. These children existed. These, you know, children are loved, and so are their parents and grandparents and families, and that we are here for each other and to support each other. It's open to everybody.
Great. And I, you know, we talked a little bit about how sometimes people want to keep miscarriages to themselves, or maybe they, in our culture, I feel like too, I mean, I run into this sometimes in the pro-life movement, and I'm 25. I've got a lot of friends who are getting married and starting families, and what I've found is that people are being encouraged to not tell friends and family that they're pregnant until they're farther along. I think it's the first 8 weeks, right, Dana, that it's most likely that you'll miscarry, like
Correct.
The risk is higher. And so they're being told, well, you may not want to tell your family and friends that you're pregnant until you're out of that 8 week range. So they don't tell anybody that they're pregnant, and then they do miscarry, and then they don't feel like they can tell anybody about the miscarriage. Or that it gets swept under the rug, like, oh, well, you were just 8 weeks along. Like, no, that's still a person, that's still a child, and you still lost that child.
And I think that's the difference with perinatal loss from any other loss is from a young girl. You know, we start thinking about our families and how many children we want to have. So if you can't have those children, or you get pregnant, you start making those plans right away. As soon as you find out you're pregnant, you know, you start thinking of names and buying things. Mm-hmm. And so even if you lose a baby at 8 weeks, you've lost the dreams that you had for your family.
Yeah.
And I think if you don't share it with people, then you lose that support.
I know I had a friend who recently miscarried, and it was early. I mean, I think she was only like 4 or 5 weeks along. She had just found out, and then they noticed that her hormone levels were going down instead of up. And so then they realized, oh, no, wait, you already miscarried even. And somebody, I don't remember who in her family, but when she, because she had told a lot of people right away that she was pregnant, and then it was like 2 days later that she found out that she was actually miscarried already. And one of her family members said to her, well, at least you were only 4 weeks along. And I just, my heart broke for her. Because it was her own family telling her, oh, well, this doesn't really matter. And that, I love the walk because it does the opposite.
Right.
It reaffirms that this was a child and we do care.
Absolutely.
And that life matters as well.
Zach and I were told by our OBGYN, he made the comment to us as far as the grief process when you lose somebody that it takes a month of grieving, and this is ballparking it, but a month of grieving for every year that you knew the person. And so his comment was, it's so different when you lose a baby, even at an early loss, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, because you have to go back, as Dana said, to when you were a little kid and you were thinking about
right
when you first started thinking about when you were going to get married and have children and how many children you were going to have. So you still have those years built up. It's just in hindsight, not in the front.
Right.
And it makes a lot of sense. Like, you're still going to grieve. You're still going to go through this process because you've been thinking about this baby since you were second grade, third grade, or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's whenever that hits you, it's a lot.
Just the pregnancy.
It is. It really is.
You know, unfortunately, people want to try and fix it.
Right.
And that's why I think you get the comments, at least you didn't. You can't fix it. And parents don't want that. They right. don't want, there's no at least.
Right. Well, thank you, ladies, for joining me. And thanks for organizing the Walk to Remember. I know families around Fort Wayne and around the state, and I guess out of state too, really appreciate what you're doing and that you're focusing in on this, especially because I do feel like it's not talked about very much. So thanks for your work. Thanks for your passion and your commitment. And thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you for having us.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. For more information on the link between abortion and breast cancer, go to abortionbreastcancer.com. Abortionbreastcancer.com.
If you or someone you know is in a crisis pregnancy, help is just a phone call away. Call 877-791-5475. If you or someone you know is dealing with grief and pain after an abortion decision, whether you had an abortion, convinced someone else to have an abortion, or even participated in a procedure, call 877-791-5475. You'll be referred to a crisis pregnancy center in your area, a place where free and confidential services are available. That's 877-791-5475. 877-791-5475.
For over a decade, Allen County Right to Life has provided top-notch pro-life apologetics training for students through our Life Defenders Boot Camp. Now we're providing this training for adults as well. Join us on Saturday, November 12th at St. Vincent de Paul for the Life Defenders Apologetics Workshop. Mike Spencer of Life Training Institute will be equipping us to speak confidently and graciously to the most pressing moral injustice of our time, abortion. Details at iChooseLife.org.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to iChooseLife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.